I was looking forward to today, and we're gonna touch on some very interesting little things today. Last week was a day about little things. Today is going to be about little things. So if you've got your Bibles, Scripture, however you access them, turn to Psalm 34. We'll get there in a little while, not right away. I'm going to do some other things first, but turn to Psalm 34. We're going to talk today about a concept called taste and see. Taste and see. Last week, we were talking about catching the wave. Remember that? And that's a good message, by the way. You might want to share that with some of your friends. Maybe you want to post that on some of your social media. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But I wanted to redo that and then kind of come to this today and I'm gonna tie some things together. I was thinking to myself, what exactly is a wave? Have you ever thought about, you know, like ocean waves? Or I guess there are waves on Lake Erie. They're not as big as some of the ocean waves, but you know, there are big waves out there. There have been some pretty big waves on the big lakes, so much so that you know, boats have gone down. So big waves are big things. But it's interesting. What's the main thing that a wave is? It's water, right? Oh, somebody said the other part. See, the wave's made of water, but how does the wave become a wave? Wind? Yeah. So the wind blows, and it creates a wave out of water. It wasn't a wave until the wind blew. It was just laying there doing nothing. Just water. Just kind of laying there going, what are you going to do? That was awful. That was awful, wasn't it? Yeah, I heard something worse the other day. Sonia loves her job, but her boss is a big dad joke guy. And he came up to Sonia the other day and he says, you know where I keep my dad jokes? And she goes, no. He goes, in my database. Yeah, isn't that awful? I love it. I love it. As a dad joke guy. So those pools of water, be they oceans or be they great lakes or be they whatever, they get blown by the wind and then you end up with a wave. Now, it's interesting because in the Bible there's a word for wind. It's pneuma. Some of you charismatics have heard of pneuma before, haven't you? And some working people have heard of pneuma, as in pneumatic. If you have a pneumatic tool, it's driven by air pressure. But we Christians oftentimes will refer to pneuma and we think of the Spirit of God because that word is translated spirit in the Scripture. So it's kind of, you know, kind of interesting how those things are used in different ways. And it got me to thinking about the wave of God's move or the wave of revival that we've seen a little bit of in the last few weeks. And the idea of waves of revival or moves of God, because some of you have been out and you've seen that Jesus Revolution movie. I was glad to hear that John saw Jesus Revolution. He liked it. I was glad to hear he liked it because I wasn't sure how young people would respond to the Jesus Revolution movie. I knew how old people like me who were in the middle of it would respond. Oh, that's so cool. I remember that. You know, we've got an emotional connection. But he liked it too. That's kind of cool. And, you know, a wave of revival begins when the Spirit is blowing. But it forms it out of something that's already there, if you will. I think sometimes we are looking for God to do something when he's already done something, and if we just let him do what he's already doing with what he's already done, we'd see more of a result. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but sometimes we're waiting on God to do something and he's saying, you already got it. Do something with it. Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes we're kind of like trying to get God to move in his sovereignty to do something and he's trying to get us to, well, stop saying, what are you going to do and get up and do something. And how does the Spirit blow? How do we get involved in the move of the Spirit, the wind of the Spirit? John chapter 3 and verse 8, we read this interesting verse. I didn't tell you to turn there, but I just want to read it to you. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. Now, this is the line that's important. So is everyone. Everybody say everyone. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Anybody in here born of the Spirit? Oh, a couple of you. Okay, good. We're supposed to be people who are born of the Spirit. That's being born again. That means that the Spirit is moving in our lives. And if the Spirit of God begins to move in my life, and I let the Spirit of God move in my life, well, it's going to make waves. And if I let the Spirit move in my life and it begins making waves, those waves are going to, well, they're going to crash on the shores of my heart and the shores of my ideas and the shores of all the things that are in me, and they're probably going to spill out over onto other people. How many of you like the waves of God to just be sloshing around in you and on you and all around you? I'd like God's Spirit to just move in me, and I think that the Spirit wants to move in us, but the Spirit is also compared to a dove, and a dove is gentle. A dove does not force itself. It's waiting. It's waiting. I've heard a preacher say that he thinks of the Spirit. Well, he says it this way. If you had a dove on your shoulder and that dove was sitting on your shoulder and you didn't want that dove to leave you, you didn't want that, you wanted that dove to remain, how would you walk? Would you just run around like the kid on, you know, Home Alone? Ah! Or would you kind of like, I want that dove. Well, you would walk with the dove in mind, at least. I'm not saying the dove might not cause you to go, ah, because he might. But the thing is, you would be aware of that dove. I think sometimes we just need to become more aware that God is with us, that he's blowing through us and on us, that the waves are inside of us. We are vessels of living water, the Bible says. Something inside of us is supposed to come alive under the presence of God, and we're supposed to be, well, not like we ever were on our own. We're supposed to be something different. So the wind of the Spirit blows through those who are of the Spirit. And I think God's just looking for someone he can blow through. How many of you know that woodwind instruments and brass instruments have to have somebody put some air in them before they'll make a sound? God's looking for us to just let him blow through our lives. And in the same way, a natural wave, we talked about this last week, when the natural wave does start to come, there is a part for us in that, isn't there? If we're going to surf, we have to get our hands in the water, we have to get up to speed with the wave, and then we get carried by that. And then last week we talked about a seed, how little it is. And sometimes our part isn't really that big a deal. It just a little something can go a long way. Just a little paddling can help you catch the wave. Just a little planting of a seed or watering of a seed can make something grow. God wants to do something through each of you. And that is why our church has the logo for its name that we do. He wants you to be the one. Each of you can do some little thing that God wants you to do. So the point in all this is that we have a part to play in revival. We have a part to play in the move of God. And it's just a little part. But when that part is joined with the power of the Spirit, it can become something really big. It can become huge. One person just letting the Spirit use them can have an effect on a whole bunch of people all around them, maybe that you didn't even expect. Now, Psalm 34, verse 8. If you're there, say amen. Okay, a couple of you are there. That's good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. We talked about trust a few weeks back. This is a time when it's hard to have trust. And a lot of people out there have lost their trust. They had been putting their trust in things that now have proven not to be trustworthy. That's hard for us to take, especially maybe some of us older people. We grew up expecting certain things out of the powers that be. Proud of our country and of its flag, and yet at the same time, now we have a country that we look at what's going on. You know, this is a weird thing. The people on the left don't trust the government. They want to change it. It's not good enough. It's never satisfying to them. And the people on the right now no longer trust the government either. One thing we have in common with the left and the right is none of us trust the government anymore. That might actually turn out to be a good thing, by the way. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God, the scripture says. If we start turning our trust toward God, we're going to have something much better. So there are people out there, and they need to taste and see that the Lord is good. How many of you think the world needs a good taste of Jesus? Come on, we need a good taste of Jesus. At times like these, people become hungry for something that is real. And so much of what around us is not real. In fact, if you think about it right now, there are people in the world that are tasting and seeing all sorts of tastes and things. They'll try anything. How many of you know some people who will try anything? And you're looking around and there are people who are trying some stuff that makes no sense. It is not working. And they keep doing it because they don't want to admit that what they've tried hasn't worked. And they're starving. They need something fulfilling. Here's a question. Do we have what they need? Let me ask that again. Do we have what they need? Do you have what they need? Is he inside of you? Do you have what the world needs? We're supposed to have it running over. Yes, amen. They need Jesus. They need what we've got inside of us. Now let me ask you this. Is a taste a big thing? How many of you have ever been to the supermarket where you go in and they have... We got a Costco membership in Fort Wayne. And when you go to Costco, every aisle has somebody standing at the end of it. Here, try this. You can get filled up just tasting stuff. Taste this, taste that, taste the next thing. And you get a little taste, but you know, it's just a little... A taste isn't a big thing, it's just a little thing. And then the idea of getting the taste of something is because if it's good, what happens next? If you taste something that's good, what's next? More. Yeah. Have you ever tasted something? It was so good that you didn't know you were hungry, but the second you tasted it, you were starved. Right? I've done that. I'm just going along, you know, and somebody gives me a little something and I taste it. Oh my goodness, all of a sudden my stomach's growling and I'm hungry. How did that happen? I thought I was doing fine and now all of a sudden I'm in huge need because I got a little taste of something. We have what the world wants. Haggai 2:7 says, I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. the God we serve, who made himself manifest in the flesh through his Son Jesus, and now lives in us by his wind, his Spirit. We have the desire of the nations. They just don't know it. And by the way, that's why the devil has worked so hard, so often, to leave a bad taste in some people's mouths when it comes to church and church people. He wants to leave a bad taste in someone's mouth because they won't try the good stuff. Because maybe they ran into some legalist or some mean person who said they were a Christian but really weren't being the kind of Christian that God wanted them to be. And so they got a bad taste, and now it left a bad taste in their mouth. You know anybody like that? I do. And so they miss out on the desire of nations, because it is the desire of nations to come and live in the presence at the feet of the living God, to have a relationship with him. Is why I was created. It's the whole point of my being, my existence. Everything else I do is done out of that, or it's never going to be quite right. A relationship with Jesus is the missing part of every equation. And he's the desire of all nations, so even if they don't know it. And it's our job to give them a taste. Did you hear that? It's our job to give them a taste. We don't have to prepare a big meal. We don't have to have everything figured out. We just have to give them a taste of what we've tasted of. Share a little of what God's done with us. What's that? Step out. Sometimes, though, I think we as individuals think, well, you know, am I qualified for this? Am I good enough for this? Do I know how to do this? What if I do this wrong? I don't know what to do. This qualification thing has always bugged me too. Revelation 2 verse 6 says, "But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." I've told you this before, but there were a group of people early on at the beginning of the church who called themselves the Nicolaitans, and they thought that they had something that not everybody else had, so they thought they were a little bit better, and they thought they were at a level where most people weren't. And it was the Nicolaitans who created something that still exists today, which I hate. I hate the clergy-laity divide. I am not clergy and you are laity. I'm not the shepherd and you're just dumb sheep. I'm just a big dumb sheep who gets to help lead the sheep. Bah! And I do my best, but I don't always do it right. I'm just a sheep too. There are some who think, well, there's leaders and there's followers. Well, I'm a follower too, though. The best leaders are followers. The Nicolaitans are where we get the word laity from. That was never God's plan. And again, that's why here we want you to be the one. Because we believe you can be the one God moves through. In fact, you can be the one who can do something that I can't do. There will be people that I will never reach. There will be people within the world that you go through who you can plant a seed, just a little thing, who you can give a taste, just a little thing, through whom the Spirit can blow through you and touch their lives. You can reach people that I'll never reach. Some of you have had experiences that I'll never have. And by the way, thank goodness, some of you can have your experiences. Thank goodness I didn't experience some of those things. But on the other hand, God brought you through those experiences for a reason. And he did something with you that he can't do with me, because he brought me through my experiences for a different reason. Does this make sense? Okay. Great moves of God, great waves of revival, are rarely, if ever, about great individuals. Sometimes individuals spark them, and a lot of times those individuals aren't that great. If you see this Jesus Revolution movie, you're going to see something about a guy named Lonnie Frisbee. Lonnie Frisbee was amazing and dumb at the same time. Lonnie made a lot of mistakes. And they didn't hide the mistakes in the movie. That was something John noted. And if you go and read more about him, there's all sorts of stuff about him now. All of a sudden, it's just all over YouTube. It's crazy. He had some problems in his life. But yet, God sparked some things through him. God can spark great things through you. You can be just that little spark that sets a big fire off. And others get caught up in it. But so often in the history of the church, there's been this idea that there are some people who are equipped to do it, and then there's the rest of the people who aren't. And I got to thinking about this equipment. What kind of equipment do you need? What kind of equipment? You got the Holy Spirit inside of you. If you're born again, you got the Holy Spirit. I don't think you need much more than that. I mean, we might give you some good ideas. It's not a bad thing. I'm not against teaching those kind of things, by the way. I've said how many times, I don't know, in front of you all, A, B, C, D, to help someone come to a place where they start to move toward God. And by the way, you know, the sinner's prayer, like we think sometimes if they pray the sinner's prayer, it's like, whoop, it's all done. No, that's to help them change their direction so they can keep going. By the way, you are saved, you are being saved, and you are yet to be saved. When he comes back and gets you, you'll be saved. When you made a decision in your life to turn toward God, that was a salvation decision. But you've also got a lot of things that God's still working through, and you're being saved. All three of those can be found in the scripture. Saved, being saved, and yet to be saved. It's all there. Admit, believe, confess, depend. I almost forgot to finish that. A, B, C, D. Admit that I need help from God because I can't do it on my own. I'm going to screw up my life if I try to do it on my own. I'm still going to screw up my life sometimes even though God's trying to help me. I get in the way. Believe in the only Son of God. Believe that Jesus came and gave his life for me so that I could get into a covenant between him and God and be in a relationship with him. Confess. Confess that belief to other people. Tell other people, I'm a believer now. By the way, that's one of the most wonderful things that you can do because once you start saying you're a believer, it's hard to stop being one. Because people will point it out to you. That's not what a believer should be doing. Oh, thank you for reminding me. That's not who I am anymore. It's a good thing. And depend. You depend on God. I'm going to depend on God every day. You can pray that prayer by yourself. You can pray that prayer with someone else. But the main thing is that you change the direction. You were going away from God and you turn back and you go toward God. But I think sometimes we depend so much on good teaching and good technique and good other things that we start to analyze everything we're doing and pretty soon we experience paralysis by analysis. Well, I was going to pray for that person, but I was thinking it through. Yeah, all of us. Or I was distracted or, you know. So the best way of learning has always been doing. You're aware of that, aren't you? The best way of learning has always been doing. I mean, yeah, it's good to see someone show it to you, but then you're going to have to try it yourself. And when you try it yourself, you find out that looked really easy until it wasn't. A lot of times it's not that hard, though. We just need to just do it. I think Nike stole that from God. Just do it. But I'd like to propose something else in the midst of all this, too. You know, I've been kind of picking on you, the believers in the room, and I've been encouraging you to go out and good. Like, maybe we need to do that. Maybe we also need to taste and see that the Lord is good again. What would that look like? I think it would look like us, as many of us as possible, allowing the Holy Spirit to have something to breathe on and breathe through. I mean, what if we just started getting more determined? Oh, God, do something through me. Do something to me so you can do something through me. Whatever it takes, Lord, I want to be used by you. And again, if God can use some of the people that he's used in the past to spark revival, to start a wave, he can use you. He can use you. Maybe we just need to dig into the water a little bit as that wave's approaching and try to get out in front of it. Just a little bit of effort, and God will honor that. Not that it's our effort that does it. It's us putting ourselves in a place where we can receive everything that he's already done for us. The other day, I was working on a roof. I have the last 3 weeks been helping Mike out because he had a big deal downtown. And it was fun because I got to pray with different people. One of the guys on his crew was having trouble with his hands one morning. He said, "Man, my hands are hurting me." He's only 23 years old. And I heard him say arthritis. And I thought, 23 and arthritis? We're going to have to fix that. That can't go on. And I started talking to him and I said, "Can I pray for you?" I guess. I grabbed his hands and prayed for him. I didn't say anything to him for a few days, and a few days later, probably more than a week later, in fact, I said, "Hey, how's your hands been doing?" And he kind of looked at me and goes, "Well, you know, they haven't bothered me at all." I said, "Well, good. I'm glad you were touched." I don't know whether he was sure he was touched or what he was sure. He was thinking about that. What does that mean? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Sometimes we don't pray because we're not qualified. Well, I don't have a degree in ministry. I don't have what it takes. I don't know what to say. Well, you can probably say whatever you're thinking. Better than nothing. It might be a taste. I'm not going to tell who, but somebody testified a while back to me that they prayed with somebody at work. Mm-hmm. Not going to look. And I was so excited about that. I was like, yes! I love that. I love it that we, all of us, all y'all, can pray with people. But like I said, sometimes we don't pray because we don't think we're qualified. Let's just hate that together. Can we do that? Just hate that together. Is that not Nicolaitan stuff right there? Only certain people get to do things. Only certain people get to do the stuff. You've got to be special. You've got to go through special training before you. No. Sometimes we don't pray because we think, well, what if nothing happens? Luke 1:37. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." You've heard me say this before. That's not the same as Matthew 19:26 that says, "All things are possible with God." When this verse was written, "For God," literally could be. Like if you're going to start acting on faith, God looks down and goes, "Whoa, what's going to happen here? This is cool, look. They're letting the wind blow through them. They're doing what they can do. I'm going to do something." "Well, I've prayed before and nothing happened." No, you haven't. "What? I prayed and nothing happened." No. Something happened. Maybe not what you wanted to happen in the timing that you wanted it to happen in and the speed and the, but you started something. Or maybe you were just part of something. Maybe they'd already been prayed for before and then you prayed and God's waiting on the next person to come and pray because he's planting seeds. And maybe it's going to be a forest that's going to uproot whatever's going on in their life. I don't know, but I know this. If I pray, something's happening. I have the faith that every time I pray, something is happening. Because nothing is impossible. Nothing is not an option. So I want to pray. And then maybe I'll pray twice. And then maybe I'll pray three times. Offer to pray for people's stuff. How many of you know people who have got stuff? Yeah, some people have stuff and you can see all their stuff. They post their stuff everywhere. And if you don't see their stuff on Facebook, they'll show you. You know, they're just asking for it. Give it to them. Pray. Pray. By the way, I don't want you to get a real carnal motive, but here you go. Do you know that if someone's just whining and moaning and complaining and wearing you out, the best way to deal with that is to pray? Like after you pray, it's really hard for them to keep moaning. And if they keep moaning, you just pray again. Pretty soon, you're just praying and they're just moaning. And pretty soon, they are tired of moaning because you keep praying for them. How many of you know some people don't really want healed? They just want to complain about it. Some people don't want a breakthrough. They just want something to talk about. You start praying, and pretty soon they won't know what to say anymore. And listen, start out with a little prayer. I don't know how it's a big deal, but start out with a little prayer. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And it might be you actually needing the taste more than them. It might be you tasting of God's goodness as you do what he's told you to do, and they may not seem like they react much, but it might be good for you to realize, I feel good. I actually got up and did that thing that the preacher's always saying ought to be done. And you might get a momentum going in your life where you'll want to do it more. And I'll bet you, if you force yourself a few times pretty soon, try it, you'll like it. I think if you try it, you'll like it. Here's another thing we might want to try. Just little stuff. I wanted to just give you a couple little things today. Little prayers. How about this? Little thing you can do. Most of us in this room are connected to social media of some kind. I did create a page for Lisa once on Facebook, and she made me take it down immediately. She's like, I don't want to do Facebook. So this may be convicting to her now. Who knows? She said, <"No." laughs> But for those of you who do it, I'm not saying everybody has to do this, but because she prays with a lot of people, I'll tell you that. I know she does that. But think about this. What if when God's doing something good and you're receiving it and you're being blessed by it, what if you put up a post about it? Have you ever seen someone who's at a restaurant and they just put up a post that says, that's the best food ever. Boy, this was really good today. Boy, this hit the spot. Boy, did it taste good. What if we did that with our church? Now, some of you, a little bit ago, received a text message that I had Marlene send out after she got the link from Matt. And it's the link to our live feed. And Marlene came up to me and she was like, I'm not an Apple person. And we send it to the church phone because the church phone has the little program on it, the little app that sends to everybody. And so I had to show her what to do. But I was already in the middle of doing what I do almost every Sunday, because I will go to our YouTube page and I will get the link, because there's a little thing that says share. And then you touch share and then it says copy link. And then I copy the link. And then I take it over to my Facebook page, and then I say Bethel Defiance, and as soon as I do that, Bethel Defiance pops up as the Bethel Defiance page, because I'm linked to the page. I don't even know how I got linked to the page, but I did. Some of you know this stuff way better than me. And I link to that page, and then I say, Bethel Defiance is streaming live now and here, or streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube. And then I put a colon, and I put the little link. And then people who I know have a chance to connect. So maybe somebody that I haven't talked to in decades is linked up and watching what we're doing here, watching the message. They might get a taste of something. You think that's a good thing? Sure. You can invite your friends to church on Facebook, and it's a whole lot easier for them to say no. But at least you invited them. And who knows, maybe if you bug them enough times, they'll come. But maybe if you invite them on Facebook a few times, and then they see you and say, hey, you ought to come out to church. We've been having a really good time. They might go, I've been noticing that you've been posting like you were having a good time, that you're glad to be there, that God's touching your life. Or, you know, maybe you put your testimony up on Facebook. Maybe you share. Here's something that I do, by the way. I don't know whether you've seen this. Some of you have, I know, because you've responded. I have this thing that I do called Fill Facebook, hashtag Fill Facebook with the Word. Now, I'm not sure how hashtags work exactly. I think it has something to do with Twitter. And I've got a Twitter account, but I really don't use it. And I don't know what I'm doing. So if anybody knows this better, you need to start training the rest of the saints. But I will go and I will find a lot of my friends will post Bible verses. And they make them look nice. So I'll find one of those and I'll share it. Sometimes you can't share it. You just hold it on your iPhone and it'll copy. And then I copy it to my feed. And then I go up and I put hashtag. And when I hit hashtag, I don't know how it started, but as soon as I just hit the hashtag, a little bubble pops up, says, hashtag fill Facebook with the word. And I touch it. And there it is. Wonder what would happen if all the Christians in the world started hashtagging fill Facebook with the word, and all the Christians started filling Facebook with the word. Do you think the world might taste and see that the Lord is good? It's just a thought. It's not hard to do. In fact, I don't know why your phone might not do that. My daughter can tell me more about this. I don't know why my phone does it, but I guess maybe I did it enough times where I typed in fill Facebook with the word, hashtag, all one word, no capitals, fill Facebook with the word. And then after a while, it just knew that I was doing that. It says something about fewer than 1,000 posts have that. But I'm thinking, well, we can change that. And so every time I share something like that, I just hashtag fill Facebook with the word, and all sorts of people see it, and it's good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Yeah. I don't know what all we can do. And again, I don't mind giving you ideas and training you, but maybe you can think of some little thing that you can do. I'm not encouraging you to go out there and stand up on a box on the street corner with a big sermon all ready to go. I mean, if you do that, great. But I'm thinking everywhere you go, give somebody a taste so that they can taste and see that the Lord is good. And everywhere you go, maybe you just act out in faith a little bit. And you get a taste. Will I tell you that there aren't sometimes when things go a little backwards? There are. I still remember offering to pray for a guy in Lowe's one day who was limping. At first I said, hey, I noticed you were limping. And he told me what happened. I said, what if I could fix that? And he goes, well, that'd be great. I'd love to do something about it. I said, can I pray for you? Oh, there you are. One of those kind of people. He turned and took his cart and ran off. I didn't feel like, well, that was great. There'll be moments. But I think if you taste and see that the Lord is good, that you will start to see more often than not that every time you try to taste and see that the Lord is good, that it'll taste good. And other people will get a taste of God, and it'll be good. If nothing else, just go follow our Facebook page. We got a group. We got a Facebook page. You can go on YouTube and subscribe to the church Facebook page, and then you know you've got an opportunity. You can go to our website. It'll connect you to Facebook, or you can go straight to the sermon of the week, basically, and podcasts of each sermon edited down so they weren't as long as they are this morning. Mark told me I had a lot of time. Still only 10:31. We've only been in service for half an hour. Oh. Just making your friends more aware that you're connected to our church, or for anybody who might be watching who's not connected to our church, just to your church, to a church family, might be an opportunity for you to taste and see that the Lord is good, and for them to taste and see that the Lord is good. Just a little. This isn't rocket science. We don't have to figure everything out. We don't have to calculate everything in the world until we just have it down to... We just need to give God a chance to do something with each of us. And as I say, some of you are way better at some of these things than I am. Some of you know how to do this social media stuff. Do it. It's a little thing. Don't make it a big burden. Just let it be a great blessing so that people can taste and see how really good God is.